We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order.
Good evening, folks. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper.
The chair is against the wall. The chair is against the wall. John has a long mustache. John has a long mustache. It's 12 o'clock, Americans, another day closer to victory. And for all of you out there on or behind the lines, this is your song.
Time, weather, and...
Highways!
Veteran of three foreign wars, entrepreneur, and warrior poet, Tony Arterburn takes on the issues facing our country, civilization, and planet. This is the Arterburn Radio Transmission.
We shall not cease from exploration, and at the end of all our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time. That's T.S. Eliot, ladies and gentlemen. He also said that April was the cruelest month. It certainly has been a cruel month so far for the bankster class. A lot of crazy things happening in commodities. Gold, Bitcoin, it's all over the place. The dollar is in real trouble, folks. We're going to get into some of that today. Matter of fact, some of the history of fiat currency that you probably didn't know. Somebody like me, it's my wheelhouse. So I found a story on Zero Hedge last week and I saved it for you. I want to go over that today. A little bit of history of what happens to fake money. And I've been traveling. We haven't done an Arterburn Radio transmission in quite a while. I do apologize. But I think moving forward, I've got a new schedule. We'll do some house cleaning today. New schedule, announcements. We'll do some, we'll actually post that too. I'll put them out on the show today and we'll post them as well. But it is April the 11th, 2024. I've got Beans the Brave in studio with me. We are in Branson, beautiful Branson, Missouri. It's good to be back here in the Ozarks. I've been back and forth between Texas and in Missouri, and I've been out in California. I was on Tinfoil Hat, which was a lot of fun. In studio Tinfoil Hat in Hollywood. Such a blast to see Sam Tripoli and Johnny and XG in person finally. And we're sponsoring. We've got the Wolfpack.Gold Studios now at Tinfoil Hat. So a lot of fun. And folks, you know, we're always broadcasting in defiance of globalist goblins and neocons and New World Order, the Build Back Better, Biden, Beelzebub, Baphomet, Bilderberg, Bohemian Grove, Bankster Bunch, broadcasting on freeworld.fm, 9:30 a.m. The Answer San Antonio, rockfin.com on the America Unplugged channel. And I decided today to put up the show on Facebook. I haven't put a Facebook feed up in a while. So I thought it'd be a good idea just to touch base. And I'm not going to do, I don't always do my radio show on my personal Facebook. Matter of fact, if you want to go friend me, I have like 3,500 left. I think I can do over there before they cap it. So go find me on Tony Arterburn on Facebook and friend me over there. I will put the Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto show up on Facebook when I stream, and the channels there, we're going to stream to everywhere on that. But you know, this show is a little different. I have to be all the censors, all the algorithms, they don't like me. I have to be careful of my language, especially when I'm talking about the elite class. And if we get too close to the truth, we start getting warnings and shadow bans and all of that good stuff, which I'm happy to do. And that's why we have Rockfin, and that's why we have freeworld.fm. And of course, the podcast channels that aren't censored as of yet. So when I'm talking about new schedules, so Thursday, Arterburn Radio transmission live, 11 a.m. Central Time following the David Knight Show. Please put that on your calendar. We're going to record the show on Thursdays, 11 a.m. Central Time. on Mondays, Monetary Mondays. We'll talk about money and we'll talk about precious metals and politics and currency and current events. The whole thing, bullion, Bitcoin, banksters over on the Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto Show, 11 a.m. Central Time, Monday, freeworld.fm. You can find that anywhere I'm found, pretty much. We're going to stream the Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto Show. It'll be 1 hour. We'll talk precious metals and all of that. We'll talk about the markets and crypto and do a broad overview of where we stand on Mondays. And be sure and subscribe to the Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto Show podcast. All right, so I think that's enough house cleaning. And I'm sure more announcements, I'll put it in the post. But like I said, I'm back and I'm in studio. And first of all, I don't always want to go into the monetary system and gold. I know you guys, over the years, we're almost to 500 shows on Arterburn Radio. And I had my daily show for a while. So that helped bump my numbers a lot. But you guys know, I mean, my wheelhouse is history. It's philosophy, definitely the conspiracy theory of history. But lately, and with the business that I'm in and what I have to study, all the shows that I go on, and people want to know what I think about the currency system worldwide, what's happening to the dollar, what's happening with gold, what's going on with Bitcoin. So that seems to be, if you have a hammer, every problem's a nail. And I'm pretty much like that all the time now, except for the fact that history is happening right now. So like the wheelhouse and everything, it's very beneficial to where I'm at in my life and when I'm looking at this. So this is me not just trying to inundate you with stories on gold or what's happening with our system, the global financial system, but it's going to affect you. It's not about investments. As a matter of fact, gold has hit its all-time high, I want to say like 5 times in the last 30 days. It's some insane thing where, it used to be, I remember when gold first broke the 2000 plus barrier, it was August 6, 2020. I was hosting the David Knight Show in Austin on InfoWars, and David was off for the week. So the whole week I was hosting, and right before I interviewed Gerald Celente, and it broke 2000 and then beyond. We were watching it live on air. And I'll never forget that. It was momentous because it hadn't done that since 2011. And one of the reasons that it broke close to 2000 in 2011 was because of what happened with the TARP funds and the Great Recession and the intervention by the central bank for 2008-2009. And Ben Bernanke, who was head of the Federal Reserve at the time, stepped in and said, "We won't do that again." Of course, silver also went to close to $50 an ounce in 2011. So there was some pushback by the Fed, and they said, "We won't do that again." Okay. Oh, well, that's just it's a blurb. We're fixing. We got new reforms. That won't happen again. Well, it happened again and again. And this time, the wheels are off. And I don't mean to say that as an alarmist, but if you're tuning in and you're actually absorbing what's being said here, it took us from the founding of our country to the time I was born in 1979 to go almost $1 trillion in total national debt. Almost. So it took us from the founding until 1979 to go $1 trillion into debt. We do that every 90 days now. Every 90 days, we go $1 trillion in debt. So think about that. Every 100 days or so, we go $1 trillion in debt. Now, that's not a sustainable system. The world knows it. The financial networks are not going to talk about this. That's not really their forte. Their forte is to read the teleprompter. Their forte is to keep you in the casino. The casino's open. The house wins. And this isn't even about, when you look at Wall Street and the markets, folks, it's not even about profit anymore. Like, these companies are ESG. It's environmental social governance. It's not even, they go woke and go broke. They don't care. It's not about that anymore. So they want to keep you in that casino. They need your retirement funds and everything floating around to prop up the system. But they've got a real problem. One, it's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. That's the debt. But the other is, literally, they have no options now. you have the consumer price index out, inflation's up, the economy's rolling along, and they thought they were going to whip inflation. Remember, Jerome Powell was going to come in, and they raised interest rates faster than any time in history in the last 3 years. So that's never been done before. We just raised rates, you know, kept announcing rate hikes, and that was to curtail inflation. First, they said it was transitory, and then they came back on that a little bit and said, no, you know, we're going to step in. We're hawkish. So then they started hinting, when they feel like they whipped inflation, they started hinting about a rate lowerings going into the election. and the Federal Reserve is not political, right? They don't intervene in national politics. Oh, they're above that, right? No, they intervene. And certainly they will lower rates this year, but it's kind of hard to do that on top of the data where you're seeing inflation. Not only that, I talked about on the David Knight Show this morning, the Biden administration had dumped, you know, millions of barrels of oil into the ecosystem of the economy back when they saw the spike in gas prices after Biden took office, massive spike in gas prices. And I wonder why that was. Is that because we told Saudi Arabia we're going green? Is that because we killed the Keystone Pipeline? Is that because we stopped domestic drilling? I don't know, something like that. But anyway, they just said all the strategic petroleum reserve, like we use for like emergencies and war and other things, we'll just sell that off, and maybe we'll make a tiny dent in the market. So they had this reserve, then they sold it off to ease prices a little bit, and it did just a tiny bit. It eased prices. It alleviated some of the pain at the pump. But now they got to replace that strategic petroleum reserve, and they're not going to do it because prices are up again. That's what happens. That's what happens when you intervene, when you have unnatural interventions in the market. You're always going to have a blowback, and that's the blowback, folks. So every which way you slice it, the ruling elites, and I think it's good evidence to show that people that run this country hate it, and the people in it, because we're not winning at all. Like there's no, you know, it was James Forrester, the Secretary of Defense, that was pushed out of a window at Bethesda Naval Hospital. You know, he told McCarthy, he said, you know, if they were just stupid, then every once in a while they'd err in our favor, but they never do. That's how you know it's on purpose. That's how you know it's not an accident. So yeah, everything that the elites are doing, that our betters and our ruling elites and all these politicians are doing, is destroying from the inside all the strength and wealth and the ability for the United States to project power. Okay, that's what this is. And they, all the while, they're messing with everything around the world to get us involved in a kinetic war. So it's not looking good. And I think the smart money and those who are paying attention are watching all these charts. I mean, folks, gold is, let's see what it is. This is how crazy. When I was talking about being on the David Knight Show and gold hitting its all-time high, that's when it broke 2,000 and some change, okay? It's 2,345 Luciferian Bankster notes per troy ounce. That's just paper. That's not counting what the retail cost of it or to source it, right? That's just paper right now. So everything's in the green. Why is that? Well, what you're looking at is not so much that gold is going up, is this is the loss and the death of the purchasing power of the US dollar. That's what this is. This is the end game, the dying of money velocity for the US dollar, folks. It's an inversion. They don't teach this in school because it would be inconvenient. Henry Ford said the same thing. He said, if people understood the banking industry, there'd be a revolution in the morning. Yeah, people would get really angry if they realized that all of this is theft. Like they're stealing from you. You know, the elites, when they steal from people on fixed income, they just print more, you know, and people in Washington, whether it's the Green New Deal or some crazy war forever military industrial complex scheme, they just print more, right? It's like, we're not even, when I was a teenager in the 90s, there was the contract with America, and he had Newt Gingrich and all the Republicans, and we're going to get a hold on this, our fiscal sanity. And I remember that. Well, guess what? They didn't do it. And now nobody even talks about being fiscally sane. And people are starting to realize this. This is the crazy thing about where we are. It's not just in a vacuum. Everyday people, and this is funny too, but I think we're just at the beginning of all this, folks. So you didn't miss out. You didn't miss out on Bitcoin. Bitcoin's over $70,000. You didn't miss out on gold. That's the sad part. You didn't miss out. I've been talking about this for years and years, but you didn't miss out. I mean, I was on the air when gold was like $1,200 an ounce. And I'm like, hey, you need to watch this. You need to really watch this. The dollar's not looking good. I'm looking at money velocity. And people were like, what? What's he talking about? Stock market's great. Yeah, that's not real, right? And then again, value. That you fast forward all these years, there's something going on, this revaluation, and even regular people. And what's the saying when the doorman starts giving you stock tips, it's time to get out. But don't worry about that. We're not in a bubble when it comes to monetary commodities. We're at the beginning of a completely, not just a bull market, but a revolution of value. In my opinion, these are my opinions. You do your own research. Don't listen to a word I say. Don't ever invest a dime because of what Tony says. Okay. You go out, you read, you study, you internalize that, pray about it, and then figure out what to do. Don't ever take one. Listen to what I say and then say, well, let's see if we can back this up. I've had some people write me after the tinfoil hat episode, and they're like, I looked up everything you said. And I'm like, good, that's a good place to start. Look up everything that I said, cross-reference it. If I'm wrong, send me an email. You know, like, hey, Tony, you missed that. That was a wrong statistic, or you said that word wrong, which wouldn't surprise me. This is an article that's up. Was a link on Drudge. Let's check this out. And I want to help answer these questions. Why are gold bar sales surging at Costco? You know, and this is everyday people are going to Costco and buying gold bars. Alongside its $1.50 hot dog and soda combo, gallon tubs of mayonnaise, and value packs of socks, Costco, the warehouse retailer, has been selling gold bars since October. Now, I've covered this before. Now, retail analysts say Costco is selling up to $200 million worth of gold and silver each month, according to analysis from Wells Fargo. Online forums and Reddit threads have cropped up where customers give each other advice on how to purchase the bars before they sell out. Quote, I've gotten a couple of calls that people have seen online that we're selling 1 ounce gold bars. Yes, but we load them on the site. They're typically gone within a few hours, Richard Galante says. Well, hey, folks, that's not going to happen at Wise Wolf. I can even lock in your price like you're like an actual exchange. I'll actually lock in your, you call me and you want to do a deal, I'll lock in your price. Can I match Costco on everything? No, but I have supply. I've been working on supply for years. I'm not a multinational conglomerate. Plus I have a lot of variety. You might pay a little bit more, but it's guaranteed, right? You might learn something too. I answer the phone every once in a while. I'll stay on the phone longer than I want to. But you can always talk to the owner. Costco is now selling 1 ounce, 24 karat gold bars, according to its online store. The bars can be purchased only by members, and the price varies based on market rates. As of the bars were sold out online for members on Thursday, and they were around 2,000 in December. Yeah, it's up. Costco has been selling silver coins advertised at 99.9% pure silver since January. Well, that's just bullion, folks. I mean, not to get too technical here, but 3 nines and 4 nines are basically the same thing. It's bullion is 99%. Okay. That's a derivative of. Buying gold becomes more common in times of economic turmoil. Although the U.S. economic outlook has improved and inflation has slowed, it remains higher than the targets from the Federal Reserve. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning, folks. I'm telling you, you're going to see articles like this, because what you're already seeing stuff like this in China. China had to stop its ETF trading at one of its largest exchanges the other day because, you're going to run out of room to back up that paper, and somebody's going to be held accountable. That's, it kind of starts there on the periphery. And then people start saying, well, I don't want the paper anymore. I want physical, I want delivery. Oh, and then the game really changes. Then we get to see the cards. The cards have to go on the table. It's kind of like silver. I'm telling you, if there is a future, I hope so. I mean, technically there should be, right? But there, when future historians hopefully write about this time, it will be, well, this is one of the biggest things that's happened in human history, because you have all of this fake wealth built on fake money with fake politicians and fake everything with real consequences. And we're about to see, and it's not going to be tomorrow. You're not going to wake up and there's going to be, oh my gosh, did everything revalued? It'll be this trajectory towards that. So you got some time. You got some time to figure this out, see where it, but don't get normalcy bias, because the genie's not going back in the bottle. This is it. Like, this is going to be, we're at a race towards central bank digital currencies. We're at a race of the breakup of the old world order, and is going to be replaced by whatever the new world order is. You look at the emerging gold and value and manufacturing is heading eastward, and the West is a, you know, like the United States is this pitiful giant that just stands around and has all this, these resources, and can't put them to use because of our leaders and because of our political system and because of the duopoly of the corrupt political parties. And there's not much you and I can do about that. But what we can do is understand the origin of this, right? When we talk about the deep state, where's the deep state come from? You think the deep state just popped up, and who funds the deep state? See, they used to have to work hard at this stuff. Like the CIA had to run heroin and opium and other things back after World War II with Wild Bill Donovan Jesus James Angleton, and they had to go figure out how they were going to pay for all their black ops. You know, they had to do it off the books. What was Iran-Contra about, right? They had to, you know, had to sell weapons to Iran to fund the Contras and all that stuff under Reagan. Well, they still had to work a lot harder before they just got all the access to the money supply. They have the access to the printing press. They used to have to work hard. They'd dump crack into the inner cities, and, you know, Gary Webb covered that, of course, you know, shot twice in the back of the head, you know, by himself, right? So this is the end game, when they don't even talk about fiscal responsibility anymore because they don't need it, right? Because no one's putting up a fight, right? There's nobody saying, well, how are we going $1 trillion in debt every 100 days? Nobody talks about that except me. I mean, there's people on the periphery that aren't in power that are noticing that this is a huge scam. But yeah, they don't even work hard anymore. They just print the trillions. And that's where we are. And they're going to continue to do that until the treasury is looted. And so don't get stand around holding the bag, because it's not going to get better on that front. It's only going to get worse. So what you can do is start learning about monetary history. Where's the origin story of fiat currency? Who tried this before? How did it go in the past? We're going to get into that. I want to, well, first let's go to the chat. I want to check up on Rockfin, see how Rockfin's doing. Yeah, if you can find me on the Rockfin channel, ROKFIN.com, on the America Unplugged channel. We got William Wallace. Hey, that's a great name. I see the icon there. Ann Christ. Hello, Tony. Good to see you. Matthew Henry. He says, I actually get to listen live today. Yeah, this is something I'm carving it out, folks. Arterburn radio transmission. I promise I will be live even if I'm not, I'll have somebody sitting here. Okay. And I'm going to keep this channel open. I'm going to, after I follow the David Knight Show on Thursdays, catch me over there at 9:30 AM Central Time. And then I'll be live on all the platforms, freeworld.fm, Rockfin, Twitter. I'll be live at 11 a.m. Central Time on Thursdays, every Thursday for an hour. Christopher Mincy, Tony killed it in tinfoil hat. Yeah, rest in peace, OJ. He took the juice. I don't know. Did he? That's an interesting question. You know, each of us owes a death, and you can't outrun that stuff forever, right? You can't. It's all temporary. You're all just passing through. Be careful of the decisions you make echo in eternity, to quote Gladiator, which is always something that you should remember. Every decision you make, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. And even though you might not pay for it then, you know, OJ will have to answer for the things that he did. And they were, if you really understand something that about that murder case and you really looked into it, it was brutal. I mean, it was some monstrous stuff. So the guy had a lot of problems, and he's gone now. So you can't outrun it forever. Michael Pomeroy, hello all. Just came over from David Knight. Thank you, Michael, for joining us. Heron H, hey, Tony and friends, just came over from David Knight. Well, thank you. Also joined Wise Wolf via David's website. That's awesome. We almost have 1,000 members. I have a promo code 1776. I probably will do something to celebrate 1,000. So if you want to be part of that, if you want to be part of the crew when the 1,000 hits, we're almost there. So even if it's like a Wolf Cub or something, you know, go over there and join. We've got a lot of great stuff coming out on Wolfpack. Jason Barker, he says, I'm streaming loud and clear to Free World. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate all the help. Jason has been a godsend because we are working on this lifeboat for free speech. And I found out the hard way, there's only 24 hours in a day. As much as the projects that I want to take on. And it's great to have so much help. I'm thankful. And Jason's the keystone in an operation, along with Melissa's been helping a great deal too. And we're going to have some great stuff on Free World. So go check out freeworld.fm, folks. And I see a Yekka in the chat. Yekka says we're at 955 subscriptions. Okay. So I'm closer and closer and closer. So help us out over there, folks. Go join Wolfpack, wolfpack.gold. All right. Let's jump into this article. That I think this will give me enough. I was looking at, well, what else am I going to talk to you guys about? And there's so much going on. Like, what do you put in it? Some of the financial news, and I'll read this headline before we get into this article on John Law from Zero Hedge. But credit card delinquency rates were worst on record in Fed study. This is Yahoo Finance, folks. U.S. credit card delinquency rates were the highest on record in the fourth quarter, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. You're starting to see the stressors, like a stress test. Where does wealth come from in an economy? Well, it comes from energy. It comes from the making of things. It's one of the things that Paul Volcker said, that he was head of the Federal Reserve in the 70s and early 80s. He's the one that stepped in and was like, hey, there's going to be runaway inflation. First of all, we got to do something about, you know, we got to raise interest rates to the teens. But when he was being interviewed by Congress, they were wondering, you know, what's going on with the strength of the U.S. economy? And he pointed out, he's like, well, when you become a consumption nation instead of a production nation, the types of wealth and the wealth disparity starts to widen. So the disparity between the haves and the have-nots, and gets wider and wider and wider and wider. You don't have the living wage. You don't have the ability for a man to go out and provide for a family and all that. You start to have to get the mother out of all this stuff is planned, by the way. You devalue the currency. You have the cultural revolutions. You just get the kids away from the parents and put them in the schools to indoctrinate them. All that kind of it all has an origin story going back to fake money. And people talk about, oh, minimum wage. I got to have the minimum wage. Okay, fine. I mean, it's got to be raised. Well, you're constantly going to have to be doing that in an era of losing purchasing power with your dollar. But if you got paid, you know, $1.25 an hour in 1962, that's today, because you're going to get, you know, some silver quarters. It's like 25 bucks an hour. You see the difference in purchasing power and what it could afford you? So you keep arguing for things. It doesn't even really matter how many angels can fit on the head of a pin. It's nonsense. Because when you don't have a fixed way, you don't have a store of value, you don't have sound money, the entire thing is fake, right? So you're attacking things and phantoms, trying to figure out how to fix your politics when really the origin of it is right over here, right? And it's the banking. It always is, right? That's the origin. And you know, Jesus knew that. That's why he threw the money changers out of the temple. It's first. What other time in the Bible did he get really angry and take out a whip? That's because you know where all the shenanigans, all the evil comes from, all that stuff. It all starts from there, and then it bleeds into wars, and then you have young patriots being cannon fodder in some class experiment for Luciferian neocons dying for democracy. All right, let's go into this article on John Law. This I saw this last week, and I'm like, I gotta go into this. This is such a great article, and you get to learn some history. Let me put this up on the screen. Yeah. How John Law turbocharged the West's malignancy. And this is by Ark Rainer up on Zero Hedge. Originally published by Alex Craner's Substack. So go follow this Alex guy. I'm going to go do that too. This is look like a great article. When Louis the 14th, the Sun King, died in 1715, France lay in ruins under a crushing burden of debts accumulated through decades of frequent and extensive warfare. The nation's industry and manufacturing nearly ground to a halt. Commerce and navigation all but ceased, and the state was on the verge of bankruptcy. France was ripe for the picking, and Venetian bankers sent their hand, the Scottish adventurer John Law, to offer a helping hand. This is where it gets interesting, because you have the, by the way, war kills the state, right? And Lord Acton, the British Lord, said the measure of a great nation is to be able to fight a great war, and the way that you remain a great nation is not to fight one. I'm paraphrasing Lord Acton, but that's pretty much right. So if you've exhausted yourself in warfare, if your economy's been bled, and you're weak, well, here comes the banksters. And the banksters sent in John Law. This is, again, 1715. In desperate straits, King Louis XV's government was willing to experiment with some novel alchemy of finance, namely Law. May have been history's first Keynesian economist. In 1705, treatise money and trade considered with a proposal for supplying the nation with money. Law hypothesized a greater quantity of money employed more people than a lesser quantity. Well, this is kind of true, but it has to be actual money. That's not what they did here. When he came to France, Law befriended the new king's regent, Duke Philip d'Orléans, and in 1716 established the Banque Jeanne Privé with the Duke's backing. Law was a vocal advocate of paper money, and Banque Générale became the first institution of Europe to issue paper notes as currency, foreshadowing the Federal Reserve System. In 1718, Law gave the bank a veneer of officialdom by renaming it Banque Royale and secured government guarantees for its currency notes, making them effectively the kingdom's legal tender. So this is like beyond fractional banking. They just came up with notes. And this is the Mississippi system, world's first unicorn stock bubble. These were the beginnings of Law's spectacular rise to notoriety. In 1717, he also took control of the Mississippi Company, which was granted the monopoly of trade with the French colonies of the West Indies and Louisiana. At that time, the Louisiana territory of Nouvelle France comprised a vast expanse of North American territory covering most of the Gulf of Mexico's northern coast and Mississippi River Valley, stretching as far north as the Great Lakes. To a varying extent, the massive expanse of land was controlled by France between 1535 and 1803, secured by a total of over 150 military outposts. With this acquisition, Law could implement his ambitious scheme known as the Mississippi System, which would soon become history's first unicorn stock bubble. In 1719, he restructured the firm as a joint stock company and renamed it as the Compagnie d'Occident. Well, that's, you could have some fun with that. Next, Locke consolidated the company's business together with other trading enterprises, including the Compagnie des Indes Orientales and the Compagnie des China. And in May 1719, relaunched the enterprise as the, this is the little game of shells too. Like, you make the shell companies, you move one corporation and more holdings into the next one. You always got to be careful of that. The new holding company had the monopoly of trade with all of France's colonial possessions. Barely 3 months later, in another bold arrangement with the Duke of Orleans, Law obtained for the company the lease on France's tax revenues. Oh, it's just like the Federal Reserve. See, in 1913, you had to have the 16th Amendment of the income tax because it was not part of our American character. It was so outside of our founding, but you had to have that because they needed that to pay the interest on the fake money they're going to create out of the Federal Reserve Bank because they're going to control the money supply. Oh. Yeah, soon the company had begun to lend money to the government, thereby acquiring France's sovereign debt. So they become the lender of choice because you can do that because you have all the, you have the printing press and your currency is recognized. In modern parlance, John Law turned France's state economy into a private hedge fund. The audacious scheme made it possible for investors to acquire a piece of the kingdom through stock shares in the company of the Indies. The hyped up promises of the immense future profits attracted investors from all over France and across Europe. Even for the people of modest means, owning stock in the company seemed as a way to share in the storied bounties that merchants and adventurers had been hauling for the new world in which were otherwise unobtainable to them. See, they offer it to the people. It's kind of like, that's why after Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard in 1971, you start seeing these products like IRAs and 401ks. And now every commercial is like, you go on these channels, it's all these commercials. I get to get, everything's a stock. It's pitching a stock and getting to the markets because they have to do that. You have to be involved in it, or you're going to start noticing there's something wrong with your money. Investing in the company of the Indies became one of the lead stories and a public obsession throughout France and Europe. By November 1719, frenzied investors who had been flocking to Paris in large numbers bid up the company's share price to 10,000 livres, more than 60 times its initial value. As rose the company's share price, so rose John Law's star. From morning till nightfall, he was in constant demand in the highest circles of French society. The alchemy of finance he introduced made him one of the most powerful men in the kingdom. In January 1720, he was named to the post of Comptroller General of the Treasury. For all intents and purposes, John Law now acted as France's prime minister. He confidently boasted that he would set France much higher than she ever was before, and that he could ruin the trade and credit of England and Holland whenever he pleases. But just at that time, the stock price of his company began its equally spectacular descent back to earth. The company of the, let's back up there. You see the hubris and the arrogance that comes with feeling you're at the top of some financial dynasty, and you're controlling destinies and all this stuff. And it's built on fake. Does that remind you of anything? Or that you can destroy these other countries? We can weaponize our current system to go against your system for not agreeing with us, right? Or getting out of line. Doesn't that sound familiar? The Company of the Indies and the Bank Royale had effectively merged, and its investors started to receive their dividends in the Bank Royale's notes. The notes were convertible into gold on demand, but in January 1720, rumors began to swirl that the bank was issuing more notes than there was gold in their vaults. As nervous investors began to demand redemption of their notes and gold, there was soon a run on the Bank Royale, and the stock price of the Company of the Indies cratered as stockholders rushed to dump their shares. Next came repression to forestall the collapse of the new financial system. On February 1720, law issued an edict prohibiting individuals in France from having their possessions more than 500 livres in gold bullion. So he's limiting how much gold you can have. At first, the edict had desired effect of people brought their excess gold to deposit it into the bank. But by this point, however, the confidence in John Law's alchemy was irreversibly shattered as he began to lose support, even among close allies, including the Duke of Orleans himself. As Law's house of cards crashed to the ground on 9 December 1720, the Duke relieved him of his charges and he fled to flee France in disgrace. In spite of his spectacular failure, John Law's scheme captivated the imagination of financiers and swindlers across Europe. In only a few years' time, he had achieved what no privateer or road brigand could dream of doing in a lifetime by securitizing France's most hyped-up assets, including her tax revenues and sovereign debt, and promoting these securities with alluring stories of vast future profits. He inflamed an exuberance of greed among the people and mobilized the masses to voluntarily part with their savings and deliver them to his company in exchange for paper claims on private system promises. Such a scheme taught enterprising financiers a lesson that was simply too enticing to forget. See, they learned from this. Like, not in the people like me look at this and say, see, I told you that you have to have sound money. There has to be checks and balances. You can't do fractional reserve into oblivion because you start getting what we have now, which is, we don't even have fractional reserve banking anymore. Whenever you borrow, they just create currency. Like when you have the financing it with you buy it, when you buy a house, that's just created currency. Swipe the credit card, that's created currency. It's no longer like, oh, we have, you know, I have 100 million in deposits so we can loan out a billion. That's not how that works. Not even used to, because we can do fraction. Even that's questionable, but that's not like that anymore. From then on, it would be perpetuated for generations to come and recreated countless times over the ensuing centuries. With the accumulating know-how and experience, it would be perfected and scaled up to industrial proportions, creating a massive conveyor belt that can turn every bit of collateral in society into negotiable securities and transfer their controlling ownership to a narrow oligarchy in charge of this novel social technology through an endless sequence of booms and busts, stock bubbles, and bank runs, always accompanied with wars. Such wars were waged under different pretexts, from spreading civilization and progress to exporting democracy and freedom, but were ultimately always aimed at controlling the world's resources and wealth. That resource, wealth, plus the local labor needed to extract it, could become secured collateral needed for the Western finance oligarchy to amass vast fortunes of issuing development and trade loans, thereby funding colonization and turning the burgeoning global trade and commodities into financial flows controlled by their own banks. In other words, Smedley Butler was right. You know, war is a racket. And the most highly decorated Marine general in history, at least until the 1930s and 40s, had a point there, didn't he? When he wrote War is a Racket and said that, you know, he was waging wars on behalf of the United Fruit Company and other things. It had nothing to do with security. The system's dying agony and humanity's... The system turbocharged the incentives for colonization and that ultimately engulfed most of the world. While it made colonial powers in the West enormously rich and powerful, the system has been grossly malignant everywhere else. Over the centuries, it has destroyed six major indigenous civilizations, India, China, Japan, and three Central and South American civilizations, along with thousands of minor cultures, kingdoms, and tribes, enslaving tens of millions of human beings and depopulating large swaths of the earth. The system may have reached the end of the road today and is struggling for its very survival. The wars in Ukraine and the Middle East, as well as the coming war on China and others, are the symptoms of a dying agony of a malignancy which belongs in history's dustbin. When the system falls, and it must fall, the losers will be the oligarchic dynasties of Europe and other westernized powers. Once rid of the malignancy, the rest of humanity will be the winners. Fake money, fake wars, folks, fake politicians, fake people, fake economies, real consequences. That's what that's all about. And that's the origin story. Like, you, every time you read about one of these schemes, whether it's John Law or whether it's the Federal Reserve, or, I mean, you look at, and I've told this story many times, but, you know, as a 22, 23-year-old, they sent me to the, on the tail end of the invasion of Iraq the next day after Mosul fell, and they sent us to the bank. They sent us to the bank to secure it and had no other orders, but secure the bank. We don't know what's going on. Well, what was going on? People were just going there and getting boxes of currency out of the bank and running out with them. And then after a while, people stopped even trying to stop them. They just kept running out with these boxes because they go into the streets and try to spend them, and nobody wanted them. Because the Iraqi dinar died in real time and went to zero. So I got to see that. And I wondered how that even worked. Like, you know, how does currency work? I started asking those questions. Like, what's it backed by? I mean, what is money? Right. And then you start seeing the kids there. By the way, the greatest entrepreneurs in the world were the Iraqi kids and the Kurdish kids. Like, just stuff's on fire, and they're bringing you Pepsis and DVDs. I mean, it's just amazing. Like, I'm still impressed. None of these Wall Street bankster criminals impress me at all. Like, you're too big to fail and too big to jail. You're not an entrepreneur. You have no skill set. What are you? You know, you're a parasite. And then I see, go back to my mind, these kids making, you know, $5 a day or whatever they could make, you know, hustling food and drinks and selling them to U.S. soldiers who just invaded the country they were in. Now that's an entrepreneur. And they were trading in U.S. dollars. But you know something funny about that, and something very telling? The Iraqi parliament has just passed laws banning the use of dollars and banning trade in dollars with their banks. Now, do you think that's because we've been magnanimous and a great global leader? Or is that because we weaponized the dollar and we have 40 different sanctions on 36 different countries, and we have literally backed ourselves into a corner on by design? So we would lose the world's reserve currency status. And those in the Biden administration, these, one of his top economic advisors has written in the Wall Street Journal that would be a good thing for us to lose the world's reserve currency status. Now, how do you do that and maintain any sort of value for all the people that have already saved? So this is it's not going to end well. So that being said, we have programs like Wolfpack. You can go to wolfpack.gold. If you're interested in owning physical precious metals without counterparty risk, wolfpack.gold, promo code 1776, free silver. It starts as low as $50 a month. We have programs all the way up to 5,000 if you want to set it and try to dollar cost average. We have programs for that. And it's called Zen Wolf all the way at the end, but there's always stuff in the middle. $250 a month is the Alpha Wolf, and you get gold in that. Now, I did make the decision about 2 months ago that every level gets gold back. So I know you guys like gold backs, 24 karat notes, a lot of like states like Utah and Wyoming and New Hampshire and others, we have those gold backs here. So gold backs in every package, every level gets gold backs, but starting at the Alpha Wolf, you get actual gold bullion. And that is the gold gram bars. And then all the way up from there, it's a mix every month. And we try to, make sure that there's variety. It's never boring. Okay. So, wolfpack.gold. Let me make sure I didn't miss any stories. I sure appreciate all of you tuning in, by the way. And, remember, with David Knight, I'm on with David Knight every Thursday at 9:30 AM Central Time, 10:30 Eastern. I'm usually on for about 30 minutes. Make sure that you go and subscribe to the Wise Wolf Gold and Crypto Show. And as a matter of fact, I'm doing a program right now. If you will give me a 5-star review on Arterburn Radio Transmission on the Apple podcast or anywhere podcasts are found, or Wise Wolf Golden Crypto Show, take a screenshot of it, email me through one of my websites, arterburn.news or Wise Wolf, and I'll send you a free silver coin. Just free. Just do that. Just send me a screenshot. We're doing that. Just getting, because look, what we're talking about is not super popular with the ruling elite and the those who want to control the narrative, because you're not hearing anything like this anywhere else. So the more that I can, you know, bypass the algorithms and get a good review, it helps us out, and it's a win-win. So it's one of the ways that I can advertise, and you get a free silver coin, and maybe I'll throw in a Beans pin or something. Like, we got Beans is, I don't know, I think her level of fame has surpassed me, and that's no longer about me anymore. It's people coming in asking where Beans is. Beans is right off camera over here. It's windy today. She doesn't like it. she doesn't like the windy days here in the Ozarks. She likes things to be kind of calm, kind of just, she wants to chill. But she definitely is the star of all of this. So just appreciate you folks. Next week, Wise Wolf Golden Crypto Show, 11 a.m. Central Time here on this network, anywhere that podcasts are found for the Wise Wolf Golden Crypto Show. If you have questions or you want me to talk about something, please email me. You can go to wolfpack.gold to get my email or send us a message. You can go to arterburn.news. If you have anything you want me to read out or if you want to join the conversation, do that. We will be live on Mondays from here on out. Because there's honestly too much to cover, and this is there's so much history happening around us. I can't not cover what's going on. So it means a lot that all of you are tuning in. So I'll let you guys go. You guys have a wonderful weekend from the crew here in Branson, Beans the Brave, and myself. Take care of each other. End of transmission.